Thank you.
Well, welcome to this little guide on how to produce audio on a complete shoestring. There's a lot of fuss made in the media about citizen journalism. This is essentially a simple attempt, forget all the buzzwords, forget all the jargon, just to prove that you can produce broadcast quality audio without spending a lot of cash. You don't need wadges of money coming out of your pockets, and you don't need a degree in computer science or sound engineering. It's all simple. Technology's changed. The means to produce good broadcast quality audio are within the reach of just about everybody. And to help me do this, I've got a man who knows all about this. He's a podcaster. He's Paul Parkinson of Podcast User Magazine and the Flashing 12 podcast. Hi there, Paul.
Hello, Chris.
Well, let's say a little bit about what we're recording this on, because we're down in the cheap and dirty basement here, aren't we? We're in a pub, first of all. We're not in a studio. You don't need to be in a studio. We've got the air conditioning going behind us, if you hear a strange whizzing, humming noise. And we're recording this on just about the cheapest kind of mic setup you could get.
Absolutely. It looks like it's just a fairly standard headset from PC World or Fry's or your local computer store, and what looks like a half-decent Dell. I mean, it's as simple as that. We're just going straight in, using Audacity, which is the free software to record on. Very straightforward setup.
Yeah, we're just recording onto a computer.
Yeah.
If you've got a computer at home, you can probably do this. There are free audio editing tools out there on the internet, one of which we're using today. It's Audacity. And recording it into a little headset microphone that I spent the grand total, I think, if memory serves me right, of about 10 quid on. And all we're doing is we're passing the microphone forward and back. So when I talk, I'm talking into the little headset bit, and then I'm passing over to Paul.
And then I'll be talking using the little microphone bit.
Well, on the rest of this tour, we're going to try some other cheap and cheerful solutions. We'll go right from the slightly more expensive end, and then we'll work our way down into the bargain basement. But as I say, the aim of this is to produce really, you know, good stuff without spending a lot of money. But I think the golden rule, before we go any further, is that really to produce good radio, good podcasts, you've got to have something to say in the first place. If you've got something really worth saying, you could probably, record it on a wax cylinder, you know, one of those old Edison wax cylinders. It wouldn't really matter.
Absolutely right. It boils down to the content. If you've got nothing to say, don't say it.
One of the other ways you can do recordings is just to use a fairly standard mobile phone. What we're using now is an off-the-shelf, out-of-the-box mobile phone. Standard microphone attached to it, and it seems to be working. Everything seems to be working perfectly.
Yeah, although you'll notice we're talking quite quickly, and that's because there's a minute time limit on the recordings. And that's certainly the case when I've tried to record on my phone, that you get a limit on how long you can record. But if you need to grab something instantly, if you're somewhere and you've got something to say and it'll just have to be that moment, then there, you can use your mobile phone. The quality is, well, it's like a phone call, but it's, at least you're recording something.
Absolutely, and surely this thing will cut out. But if you've got something to say and you need to say it now, use a mobile phone. It really is very, very easy.
Well, we've done the just sticking it into your computer, and we've done the phone, so we're going one up. We're actually going up to the dedicated MP3 player. Now, this one I'm recording on, which is a fairly standard one, it cost me the princely sum of $29 Canadian. I picked it up in an electronics store in Edmonton. That translates to about 15 quid, I think. It was end of line because it's only 256 megabytes, which is sort of, you know, I think it'll store, 100 songs, something like that.
Something like that,
it's
yeah.
Hopelessly obsolete. But the nice thing about it, and this is something to look out for, is it has a little socket where you can plug a microphone in, which is quite important, because we were actually recording this on a microphone. Now, the kind of microphone we're using, we're not. It's no expense spared. this is one of another sort of yours for a tenner microphone. This is one of those little tiny lapel microphones. But you know what? They work pretty well. I mean, you've had some good experience with one that I think cost you even less than a tenner.
Yeah, I bought a microphone in a local store and it cost me £1. And I went to a bass day, which is a festival of bass players at a university on the South Bank of London. And I recorded Stuart Hamm playing at full blat, full volume, through this little £1 microphone, and it sounded stellar. And I had to spend a hideous amount more to improve on the sound of this £1 microphone. It comes back to the same thing. You don't need to spend a lot of money to get a great sound.
No, and I think one thing we should say, actually you can hear fireworks in the background, and that's a good cue to say that one of the most important things about sound is thinking about where you record it. because I know I was interviewed by Simon Toon using a device that's exactly the same as this little MP3 player. Simon Toon does the Poetry Slam podcast. Mm-hmm. But he came to visit me in our studios, and the sound he got out of the little machine was fantastic because he was recording it in an acoustically dead environment. He was recording it somewhere where there wasn't a lot of echo, there wasn't a lot of background noise, where really you just heard my voice very, very clearly. Mm-hmm. Depending on what you want to do, if you're recording some big event, you want the background noise. That sounds great. That's all part and parcel of it. If you're recording just yourself speaking, you might not want that background noise. To avoid nasty things like echoes, etc., your phone's going. That's another tip. don't have the phone on when you're trying to record. There we go. Anyway, that's a good point. The number of times I've left the phone on when I'm trying to record. One of the things about, don't record in your bathroom, for example. You'll get tons and tons of echo. Do record in your closet, where there are lots of clothes to deaden the sound. Do record in a carpeted room. Do record in a room with low ceilings, for example. All those little things. The main trick with that is to just listen back to yourself. Listen back to what you've recorded and see how it sounds.
Absolutely. It comes down to the message you're trying to put across. We're sitting outside on a Thameside pub. We've got the air conditioning. You can hear a jet going overhead. But that's all part of the ambience of what we're trying to achieve here. We wanted to do an outside broadcast, for want of a better word. So what you need to do is to match your circumstances and your recording environment with the messages you're trying to put across. It's very straightforward.
Absolutely. Now, we've got a microphone here, one of pretty dubious quality, it has to be said. What I'm going to do next is I'm going to unplug the microphone, and we'll do this just using the internal mic, because there are loads of cheap dictaphones now, aren't there?
Absolutely, yeah.
And to be honest, it's not bad. We sent a chap out to Basra, and we sent him with a microphone and one of these things, and he, in the end, he didn't use the microphone because it was just too complicated with all the body armour and stuff that mm-hmm. they have to lug around. So, and the results weren't bad. They were certainly broadcastable. So, you know, you don't even need a microphone. You don't even need to go to that expense, to be honest. Well, now I'm recording on the internal mic on the little MP3 player, and I can hear in my headphones, and this is another really important tip, is when you're recording, always have your headphones in so you can hear what you're actually recording, because many's the time you might forget to press record, or you'll get strange noises from the mic flex, or there's something wrong with your machine and you won't know. And the only way you'll know is if you've got your headphones in. So one of the golden rules of recording is to wear headphones. I'm recording on the little built-in mic on this MP3 player, and to me it sounds a bit crackly, it sounds a bit fuzzy. To use a technical term, it sounds a bit overmodded. Basically, that means that it's a recording too hot, it's coming in too loud, and the crackle is when it starts to clip. There are lots of things I could do to make that better. For example, I could move the thing further away, and miraculously it's going to stop clipping, but it's going to sound like I'm distant, and the background noise is going to become a lot louder, including the sound of that plane overhead. So here I'm kind of pushing up against the limits of this. So, okay, you've heard the cheap and cheerful thing with just using a dictaphone type recorder. Paul, who's sitting opposite me, has splashed out the big bucks and has got something quite different.
Yeah, what I'm running now is an Edirol R1, which is a 24-bit digital recorder running into and what they call an ENG mic, which is an electronic news gathering mic, battery-powered dynamic microphone. And I think you can probably tell the difference between that and the other sound qualities that we managed to record this evening. Certainly there's a tad more background noise as it's much more sensitive, but the actual outright quality I think is way better.
Yeah, what's interesting is there are lots of different digital recorders like this on the market now. You've got Marantz, you've got M-Audio, just to name but a few of the available brands. They all tend to retail around about the same price, I think, around about sort of £200 to £400. They will give you, definitely give you professional quality recording. But the key thing is the microphone, what you put into it. Now, Paul is using a very good brand of microphone. I think it cost him about £100. I use another one that I picked up in the States, again, for around about that kind of figure, between £60 and £100. But you don't have to use a very expensive mic like that. You can get quite good results with something quite a bit cheaper. one of the key points, one of the things that people always forget, and this is like the biggest complaint of people who listen to homemade recordings, is they forget the £1.50 bit of foam that goes over the microphone at the end. If you don't have that little foam cover, you will get all kinds of pops.
And it actually warms out the sound of the voice as well, for some reason as well, but I'm not clear on why that happens.
I don't know why that happens, but it does. The other thing is the flex. Even on an expensive piece of recording equipment like that, you know, you've still got it connected with a 2-3 pound wire, and that wire rattles, it moves, it makes noises, and those will come onto your recording. So the trick that a lot of the old hands at this game do is what they do is they wrap the flex around their hand quite tightly, and that just stops that noise being transferred to the microphone. It's a simple trick, but it really does make a difference. You know, if you've gone out and invested a fair bit of money in some high-end recorder, you know, the last thing you want to do is have it all ruined by some flex that's going click, 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 click every time you move the microphone. So that's another handy trick.
Another top tip. You're absolutely right. This actually is a cable that I've jerry-rigged together through bits from a local electronics store. And sometimes, it does crackle a little bit, but thankfully not this evening.
One of the other things we should say is that you're using a digital recorder. Now, that records straight onto, I think it's a compact flash card, isn't it? A little memory chip, in other words, that you can then plug into your computer. A lot of radio reporters use mini discs. Now, they're something of a dying breed, but they will give you the same quality of digital recording for, I think, probably about half the price of one of these digital recorders. The problem with them is it can be difficult to get the sound files off. So with some of the older ones, you actually have to dub it off manually. You have to sort of plug a cable in and, you know, play it in real time. For some of the other ones, you can use bits of software, but the bits of software are a bit clunky. They're not terribly easy to work with. But mini discs are a good kind of middle way compromise. There are other things too, like DAT and even some tape recorders. But you know what? Those are rapidly becoming obsolete technology now.
I've not actually listened to... I've got a collection of about 250 cassettes at home, and I probably haven't listened to them for 3 years.
Well, you see, when I started in the radio business, I was actually doing it on big reel-to-reel tapes, which would...
You're not that old. Surely you're not that old.
No. Well, this is how technology has changed in the space of... I mean, I've been in radio for just about 10 years now. And that's how much it's changed from when I started with big reel-to-reel tapes, you know, those big sort of... big turny wheels, cutting it with razor blades, marking it with grease paint, to now digital technology that anybody with a home computer can use to edit as effectively as the professionals. But, you know, time was. You couldn't have bought one of those whacking great big tape machines. It would have taken up most of your kitchen.
Absolutely right. And with software that's available for free now, you're up there able to record, cut, splice, cut, copy and paste, to the level of quality that a broadcaster would have dreamed of 10 years ago.
Well, I think we could say this was the princess and the pauper of recording combinations. To a very expensive piece of digital recording equipment is going a £1 microphone, the Pound Saver microphone. I have to say, I've had some good results with cheap microphones, and Paul tells me this one's excellent. I'll have to take his word for it, because I'm not wearing headphones, so I can't hear at all what it sounds like, but he's grinning like a fool, which suggests to me that it must be doing all right. But this is the one you had great success at the Bass event with.
Absolutely. This is the microphone I used to record, and you can hear there's a lot more wind noise, and it's a bit more poppy. Yeah, very poppy. But as long as you're sensible with a mic like this, and you hold it a reasonable distance from your mouth, and you don't do too many noises, you'll be fine. A pound mic is good enough to get started, and if you've got something to say, this is the way to say it.
And, you know, the popping noises, all of that, wind noise, if he had a little piece of foam that he could put over this microphone, he would cut that a lot. You know, you can even improvise stuff like you could stretch, I don't know, an old tight over a coat hanger and use that as a pop filter in front of it. I mean, you know, you can play around with this stuff. Just because you haven't bought it in a shop, the great magic of radio is nobody can see how cheap and ropey your kit is.